My mom was a juvenile probation officer. My dad was a cop. So, you know, we didn't get away with anything at all. And just grew up in a very public service oriented household. My folks took in kids whose families were struggling, and they became my brothers. Married my high school sweetheart, went to school on the East Coast, and then 9/11 happened. I was out there and decided to join the Army. And so joined the Army into an infantry unit in the Guard, and then went to law school, and during law school pursued a commission as an intelligence officer, became a military intelligence officer in the Army, and then volunteered to go to Afghanistan. And so I did anti-corruption work over there in the Afghan government, came home, started practicing law, got elected to the state legislature, and got to Jefferson City and found out plenty of anti-corruption work to do in Jefferson City too. So focused a lot of my time on campaign and ethics reform, and ran for Secretary of State and won.
In your TV ads during the campaign, you cited your military background. How does that experience prepare you to run a wing of the state government?
Sure. Well, the Secretary of State's office is all about having the courage to stand up and do what's right, regardless of who's on the other side. I mean, sometimes that's people who supported you, sometimes it's people who didn't. And you have to have the courage to do what's right, regardless of who you're dealing with. And I just think, you know, that's a part of my background. It's something that I've demonstrated during my time in public service, that, you know, my goal is to do what's right, what's fair, to take a nonpartisan approach in this office. And, in politics these days, that takes courage. And, once you've, frankly, gone overseas and served your country and been in a place that truly was dangerous, making decisions in public service that some consider tough, they just don't seem as tough.
Should photo IDs be required for voting? And if so, or if not, how will your office combat voter fraud in Missouri?
Well, first, what I found during the campaign is that, this was not the top issue that people wanted to talk about. I mean, if you go out here on Main Street and you ask 10 people what they think is the most important issue facing Missouri, they're going to bring up jobs, they're going to bring up the economy. And so first I'd say that's going to be my focus as Secretary of State, is on doing everything we can to make sure the Business Services Division takes a proactive approach and helps entrepreneurs be in a position to create jobs, and I think we can. Now, on the issue specifically of photo ID, to me it's I have a pretty simple rule, which is I'm not going to support anything that would disenfranchise a single eligible voter. But there are states that have done this in a way that it doesn't disenfranchise voters, and that is reasonable. I mean, if you look at Idaho, for instance, Idaho has a program where they require a photo ID, but if you don't have it, you can sign a sworn affidavit. But that's not what's been proposed in the Missouri legislature. What's been proposed here has been extreme. It's been unfair. And I can tell you that I'm always going to be willing to talk to people, but I'm never going to support anything that would disenfranchise an eligible voter.
Your predecessor, she has been heavily criticized by the Republican Party and other conservative groups, and even sued on several occasions for the language that she's used for a number of ballot initiatives over the years. Will you use whatever language the initiative sponsors submit to you, or will you write your own language, or will there be some other type of approach?
My approach is going to be to make sure that the language is fair, it's straightforward, it's nonpartisan. People need to know how an issue affects their everyday lives. I'm not interested in just using poll-driven language that's submitted by one group or another. My focus is always going to be on writing language myself in terms of, taking the responsibility for this process and making sure that it's just fair and straightforward and nonpartisan.
How did your stint in the legislature prepare you for this job?
I think, obviously a lot of what we're going to do here is we're going to deal with the legislature on issues. And I think it's helpful, one, that I know the people over there. I was able to have some real bipartisan successes on issues like, for instance, ethics reform 2 years ago by working with a Republican co-sponsor. And I was able to do that by building relationships in a way that they were centered around respect for one another. My approach is not going to change in that regard. And obviously it's about respecting that branch of government and respecting the individuals in it. And I think having served in the legislature gives me a great ability to continue that work.
You're young. You've got 4 years ahead of you in this office. Do you plan to seek re-election or anything further down the road?
Obviously my intent is to keep doing this job and to be re-elected to this job. But I'm not really thinking about that right now. I mean, the the thing that is interesting about this is that, I mean, I acknowledge that when you're young and you run for office and win office, people frequently ask you about your plans. And for me, I have learned that if you're not doing a good job in the job you're in, then it is pretty silly to think about what you might do next. Because if you don't do a good job, people are not going to ever be interested in you doing any other job. And so my focus is always going to be on being the best Secretary of State I can. I ran for Secretary of State because I want to be Secretary of State. I think this is an incredibly important job that touches the lives of all Missourians. And you know, I'm here to do this job, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Have you had a chance to visit with Secretary of State Carnahan? Has she offered you any advice on taking this job?
Sure. Well, we've we have had a chance to sit down. We have a good relationship. And you know, one of the things that we talked about was something that she emphasized quite a lot during her time here, which is customer service. I mean, this is a job that you touch a lot of lives in the state. I mean, this is a division of state government that just has a lot of different responsibilities. And so we talked about the work she has done to make sure to improve customer service. And I think, you know, overall, if I were to imply advice from that, it was to continue that. And that's something that I think is really important and that I'm definitely going to do.
Will there be anything that you do differently than Robin Carnahan has done for the past 8 years?
Well, I think one area where her work has created a real opportunity for us is in the business services division. When she took office, the cost of starting a business in the state was about twice as high as it is now, and there was a lot of paperwork involved. And she's done a great job in, and the business services division here has done a great job in making that process just a lot more smooth. And really, it's really they've really done a good job of making that easier. And so that creates this great opportunity for us to focus some of the energy of the business services division on a more proactive approach in regards to people starting a business. So for instance, we're the first place in state government to really know that someone is starting a new business venture because they have to file their paperwork here. Well, instead of just filing that paperwork for them, we can take that next step and build relationships with innovation centers, incubators, universities all across the state that can be a resource to them and help them avoid some of the common pitfalls that new businesses encounter. And so that's just sort of a next step that we're able to take that I'm excited about.
Tell us a little bit about your family.
Sure. I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We met when we were 17. Got married almost 10 years ago now. My folks live in Kansas City, so do my grandparents. Family's been there quite a long time. It's nice now that with the campaign over. I mean, we're working very hard on transition, but I definitely do have a little bit more time to spend with everybody I just mentioned, and it's really a good thing. And I think one other thing that I think is very important is campaign and ethics reform. I mean, you asked earlier about the issue of clean elections. I am a very big believer in the idea that clean elections don't start on election day. And if we're really going to talk about fraud, let's talk about the true fraud in our elections, and that's our campaign finance laws. I mean, we're the only state in the country that has the combination of unlimited lobbyist gifts to legislators and unlimited campaign contributions. We have a system that has almost no rules. And I think, as chief elections officer, it's my duty to make sure that people are aware of those problems and therefore ask people to talk to their legislators about it. And I think we can get some major ethics reform done, and I think we really need to in this state.